Here on the morning show in just a few minutes. Stay warm. It is 3 degrees below zero at WRCO. The time is 9 o'clock. News This Hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green, enhancing the relationships with those you love. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Freezing rain turning roadways into ice rinks in Oklahoma City. The temperature in Bismarck, North Dakota, hitting 29 below without the wind being factored in. And snow blanketing parts of the South. Millions under winter weather advisories this week. President Trump appearing to blame Ukraine for starting the war in that country. The comments coming after administration officials met with their Russian counterparts in Saudi Arabia without inviting Ukraine to take part. Mick Mulroy is an ABC News contributor and former high-ranking State Department official.
It's clear that Russia started this unprovoked, completely illegal conflict. It's good to reset the relationship, but we got to understand who started this conflict and who ultimately has a say in whether Ukraine is willing to come to the table and agree to whatever parameters we put forth in this discussion.
The president's administration and Elon Musk moving quickly with more federal employee cuts and firings. This is ABC News. A judge in New York is expected to decide today if federal prosecutors can drop bribery charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, but he could still face removal from office.
While the calls for Governor Hochul to remove Mayor Adams grow louder, the governor quietly considers the options. At her Manhattan office, Hochul met with Council Speaker Adrian Adams, who declined to discuss what was said, with Queens Borough President Donovan Richards via video call, who called it a clear-eyed and frank discussion, and with Comptroller Brad Lander, who, despite running in the mayoral primary, can, as comptroller, convene the Mayoral Inability Committee, setting up a different process to remove the mayor.
That's ABC's Sonia Roncone here in New York. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is proposing a statewide ban on cell phones in public school classrooms. He's expected to endorse screen-free schools during an address this afternoon. Legislation introduced in the state would require a school district to set policies banning personal wireless devices during class times. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Are you looking for the perfect gift or a little sparkle for yourself? Pam's Fine Jewelry in Spring Green is a full-service jewelry store with a wide variety of styles to fit every occasion. From engagement rings to timeless keepsakes, our friendly and knowledgeable staff is here to help you find something special. Stop by today or give us a call at 588-2134. Pam's Fine Jewelry, where elegance and service shine. Pam's will be closed until March 18th and reopening March 19th. The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
Sun mixed with a few clouds today, still cold and a high of 10. Northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and brisk and a low of 3 degrees below zero. Partly cloudy, somewhat warmer Thursday and a high of 21. Friday, mostly sunny, still cooler than normal but pleasant and a high of 23. And a high of 28 for Saturday.
Since 1956, Meyer Oil & LP has been your trusted, locally owned fuel delivery partner. Whether it's for your home, farm, or business, we've got you covered. Offering a range of fuels from propane, diesel, gas, and bulk lubes, Meyer Oil is here for you. Serving most of Richland, Sauk, and surrounding counties, our friendly staff is ready to assist you. Please consider Meyer Oil & LP for all your fuel needs. Call us at 608-524-3914.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most, Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Michael Olson, agent, or Melanie Olson, office manager at Michael Olson Agency, LLC at 608-588-7200 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Free February sale is going on at Furniture Decor and More in Boscobel and Westby. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and free gift with qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby. Free February sale going on at Furniture Decor and More in Westby and Boscobel. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and a free gift with a qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby. Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs are coming together for a great cause. Join them for a pancake breakfast fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd from 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Ithaca High School Commons. The community will gather to enjoy a delicious breakfast, a fun bounce house for kids, and an opportunity to give back. Adults can eat for just $10, students $5, preschoolers eat free. Remember, carryouts are available. Don't forget to check out the bake sale, silent auction, and meat raffle. If you want to contribute, call Bill at 608-475-6870 or Joanne at 608-516-2675. Come together, enjoy a great meal, and support a wonderful cause. The Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs Benefit Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd from 7 to 12:30. Welcome to our morning show visit today on WRCO. We brought back some friends to the studio today. We're here to talk about the Driftless Area Deer Classic, which is back this Saturday, this weekend here in Richland Center. John Clare is here along with Dave Barron and Derek Goplin. We'll talk about their enthusiastic approach to this big event here. John, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
It was seemed like just yesterday, but you were here the week of the gun deer season, I think, was the last
time. Yeah, we were here to talk about the upcoming deer season, and now we're going to talk about how the deer season went.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's going to get a chance to show off their deer heads.
Yeah. How's the winter weather been, you know, in terms of the great outdoors? I know you're out there all the time.
It really wasn't. It's been cold, of course, and for those that ice fish, of course, there was ice this year that wasn't there last year. It's been pretty good. And a little bit of snow here recently, and so the deer herd should be doing very well.
It seems they are. I see them running along the roadways.
Yeah, and in town, they're everywhere. They're in my backyard almost every night.
Indeed. So how did the deer season go this past year for the gun deer season?
Well, there was the kill was down a little bit. And one of the problems we have, of course, is chronic wasting disease, which we've talked about a lot. The problem is that when the disease becomes endemic and gets to a certain rate, the deer population is probably going to go down, and I think that's what's happening. They did a study here in southwestern Wisconsin over 6 years, and they tagged just over 1,000 deer. Some were fawns, some were adults, and then they kind of tracked them to see whether they survived or not. And what they found was that if it was a female deer, it had an 83% chance of making it through a year if it didn't have chronic wasting disease. If it had chronic wasting disease, its chance of survival, instead of being 83%, was 41%. So about half the chance of survival. If it was a buck had a 69% chance of making it through a year if it was negative for chronic wasting disease, only a 17% chance to make it if it was positive. So that obviously plays a role. And one of the things that they discovered, or they kind of extrapolated off of that study, was that once the population positive rate becomes about 29% in the Dole population, the population will start to go down. And I think that's what's starting to happen here. Normally, and Dave knows, we talk every year about we're shooting about 3,000 does and about 3,000 bucks in Richland County, and that's not nearly enough does to impact the population. But now, this last year, the population, the deer kill, rather, was down to about 2,500 of each. So it dropped by about 1,000 over the normal 6,000. We only killed about 5,000 deer. So that may be due to a chronic wasting disease, but it could be other factors as well.
Is it going to take care of itself? I mean, nature going to, you know, take care of itself and the herd comes back then?
One of the things they said in the study, and the study is available on the DNR's website for anybody to look at, is that the deer will not become extinct or extirpated, which means extinction in a small area. They're always going to be there, but they'll be there at a reduced level.
Dave, did people follow directions this year at the kiosks and everything go well there?
Yeah, actually, we managed to fill up some dumpsters this year. And I noticed in Ithaca, we did not have as many deer heads thrown in the dumpster. They actually put them in the kiosk. I'm hoping people are finally realizing that we need to get a handle on this CWD. And so, you know, getting your deer tested. I think I killed 3 deer this year, and one was positive. Last year I killed 3 deer, and 2 were positive. So maybe it's getting better in my area.
Sounds good. Well, this weekend with the Driftless Area Deer Classic, is this kind of the culmination? Is this kind of a way to celebrate a little bit?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how many really large deer heads we get this year. Last year we had 5 or 6 over 200 inches, and you know, everybody talks about Buffalo County being the county with big deer. Well, guess what? Richland County is the big deer population. Everybody remember that I didn't say that. go to Buffalo County, stay out of Richland County.
You just made the price of land go up.
Yeah, exactly. well, tell us about the order of events then, John, coming up this weekend.
Okay, normally what happens is we take in deer heads on Friday night from 4 to 9, and you can drop your deer head off. If you enter a deer head in the show, you have a chance at winning a gun. So we encourage people to do that. And we'll also put on display your European mounts, which are the skull mounts, and even shed antlers that people found. You can have the head scored if you like. And the scoring process, of course, there's folks there from the Buck and Bear Club and Pope and Young and the Boone and Crockett scoring. It's all the same, but they will measure the antlers, and they were saying about a 200 inch deer is gigantic, and they measure the length of the beams and then the circumference at different places, and they add it all up and they come up with a score. And so you can have your head scored if you like, and we then on Saturday open up from 9 to 5, and if you're going to have a deer head on display, you can pick it up after 5. So we want it there so that everybody can see them.
All right, I just wanted to make a comment. If you get your deer head scored, there's no cost.
Right.
So it's free. And so if you're just curious where your buck ranks, if you can get it scored, and so you can see how big it really was.
Can people bring it in and not leave it for Saturday's show then? Or would you rather
them not to?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we want to put them on display so people from around the area can see what kind of deer were shot in the area.
Mm-hmm. Boy, some of those you might have trouble getting them through the doorway, right?
No, we're talking deer, not elk.
I know, but that's a big spread, though.
Yeah, we have some impressive deer around here. And luckily, I still have my cameras out, and there's a bunch of them made it through this year.
That's good. They always do.
Are you doing some things with trail camera photos as well?
We have in the past. I don't know if we're doing that again this year. I think so.
Yeah, we normally have a photo contest.
Trail camera photo contest. And so, Derek, do you know if that's happening?
You know, I'm not really sure. It's something we could probably pull off pretty quickly, though.
Yeah.
It's not a huge process to
make happen. Right, so if you have some good trail camera photos, bring them in. And it's not just deer.
Yeah.
Here in Richland County, we're having all sorts of things show up. Lots of bobcats, mountain lion once in a while, a bear once in a while. So if you have some trail camera photos you'd like to bring in, feel free to do that.
Okay, I'm going to make an executive decision.
Okay.
We are going to have a photo contest.
All right. Your photo's not eligible, though, Dave.
Yeah.
So.
I don't bring any anyway. So.
So, Derek, tell us a little bit about, have you been involved with the Deer Classic since its inception?
I have been. Just recently, last year, I became the treasurer for the club. John had taken that on for many years. I really don't actually remember who did it before John. But, I've been a part of it. We have some new things happening this year. That I'm pretty excited about. We're not going to do food ourselves this year. We're going to outsource that to Utter Brothers, which I believe is from the basketball area.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty excited for them to come in and give a different opportunity for food. The other main thing we're doing this year with our raffles is we have a card reader on hand. Many people that have bought raffles in the past know that if they run out of cash, they got to go down to Quick Trip and... you know, between the other businesses, but on your way down to Quick Trip, you probably don't come back. So, very excited for that to have at the archery or at the show. So,
new and improved. Then it sounds like.
Yes, we're moving along with technology. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So, do you remember the first show and how well it's grown through the years?
So first show was down in at the middle school when we first started. Like anything new, it was pretty chaotic. It was a lot of good ideas, but it was relatively hard to manage and what everyone's actual role was. So we've had probably the same people for the most part doing the show. And now, like this year, just working with Jim Birch, our president, it's the stuff we've had to do is very minimal. Everything has been very smooth. Everyone knows their role. We take care of it. There's not really a lot of planning that goes into the show anymore because it runs so smoothly. So that helps with being able to do new things. We can look at the data, the numbers, and see what we need to do, if we need to add more raffles.
Dave?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut Derek off. We're one of the only deer shows in the area anymore.
Yep.
A lot of the other deer shows have quit doing it. And like Derek was talking about, our first year, you know, we put up display boards. It took us like 3.5 hours to put them up the first year. Now it's 30 minutes. So, you know, we kind of have the same crew come in every year. You don't have to tell anybody what to do. It just gets done.
Why aren't there more? Why have they kind of died out, so to speak?
I don't know.
Yeah, there used to be the real big one in Madison, which was called the Deer Classic, and it was at the Alliant Energy Center. And that kind of went by the wayside and was replaced by one called Open Season, which is in the Dells now. And it's a little bit smaller, maybe, but some of the ones that have been in the area, the big one was in Prairie du Chien. That's where we would borrow the display boards, and now we bought them. They just decided that their interest was going down, and so they probably didn't have enough help, like everybody else doesn't. And they just decided to do away with it, and we kind of took it over. And so we're one of the only shows in the area right now.
Yeah, and we average 100 to 125 deer heads every year, and that seems to be what we've done for the last 8 years.
That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm sure you still get some that wow you once in a while, don't you?
Yeah, but the wild deer we put right on the first board when you walk in, and you go, holy cow, look at these guys. Why don't I see these?
Yeah, there's some big ones.
Yeah. Do you remember why you first got involved, Derek?
when I first got involved with the archery, you know, club was just having the passion to be out in the outdoors, to enjoying archery hunting. Most of the people that are still involved in the club are the same people I, you know, met when I was in high school when I first started. So being able to see the same people every week during the summertime when we gather, it's, you know, it's pretty cool. We always get to tell stories. Some of them are repeated multiple times a year, but it's always a good time to just to come up on a Wednesday night and kind of just get away from life for a little bit and enjoy the outdoors, you know, heckle each other during shooting and stuff. So it's a good reason to always come back.
How often does the archery club meet during the year then?
Yeah, so we meet once a week on Wednesday nights up at the archery club. It usually starts around April-ish, depending on the weather. And then we go until bow season. So we have about four shoots a year, once a month through the summertime on the weekends. And if you're a member, you can shoot anytime you want. You just don't have to come up on Wednesdays. You can come up any day of the week and shoot. So we'll have all that information up there. If you want to come up and stop up on a Wednesday night during the summertime, you're more than happy to. And then we'll have stuff on Facebook too. So
just come up and watch if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to come up and have a broader hot dog, we got beverages too. You know, come up and share a story.
Awesome. So do you strictly archery hunt or do you gun hunt as well?
I do both. I really enjoy the archery side of things. I have a lot of other family members that we share the land with. So most of them gun hunt. So I tend to just let them, you know, participate in that. And I have other things that I do during the gun season. So I get more time to hunt during the archery season and less pressure. So
sure. So are you bringing anything personally to the show this year? Was it a successful hunt for you?
This year it was not successful in deer wise, but you know, I enjoyed a lot of hours out in the woods. I'll still bring the same deer that I always bring from when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty busy during the show, and I like to go around and see all the new stuff. So
good. Yeah, the stories are just a part of it, you know? Is there going to be a storytelling clinic here at the Classic? Or you're not leading that, huh, John?
No, we're not going to do that. But as Derek alluded to earlier, we shoot on Wednesday nights. If anybody in the area wants to join the archery club,
yeah,
we'll make that available at the deer show. It's right up past Goodwill, the end of the road. There's a T. Take a left, go up the hill, and that's where we're at. And we have a kind of a clubhouse area there, more like a kind of a lean-to. It's open area. And we generally have out about 30 3D targets, anywhere from something the size of a raccoon to something the size of a moose, full size. And so different ranges, and it's fun. And whether or not you're really, really into archery or just trying to get involved a little bit, it's a lot of fun.
Crossbows as well?
We do allow crossbows to come and shoot some of the targets. We don't like them to shoot the 3Ds because they're pretty accurate. They'll eat up the same. Unlike me, they hit the same spot all the time. I spread my arrows around to save the targets.
Do you remember your first bow and arrow, Derek?
I do. It was made of PVC and you know, I don't know, cotton string maybe. It's, you know, just enough to enjoy it. I got my first bow in high school that my dad bought, and I think I shot six deer the first year, and then, you know, the rest is history. It's hard to get away. So
you were rookie of the year that first year, it sounds like.
Competing with myself, yes.
You were a step up for me. I think I had Baylor twine on my first one, so the cotton string was a little bit better. The show is coming up this weekend, and you know, you don't have to be a hunter to go out and enjoy this. I think just to go out and marvel at it, John.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see what kind of animals are out there, and we also have a lot of vendors that'll be there, so you can buy things hunting related. There's usually somebody there, usually a realtor if you're looking for land to hunt on. There are folks there selling stuff for food plots, seeds for food plots and fertilizer and whatnot for that kind of activity. And then all kinds of hunting related. There's usually people dealing in bows and taxidermy services and that kind of thing too. So
it's kind of a one-stop shop, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, actually it is. I'm surprised John didn't mention this. We've added something new this year. We're going to have slightly used camouflage clothing for sale at a very reasonable price. So I know I'm unloading a whole tote full of
that. My wife and I are in charge of that, so our back porch has got piles already. and it was actually my wife's idea. I think it was her idea to get me to part with some of my stuff. But there are a lot of other folks that are donating too. And that'll be for sale on a couple of tables back in the corner. And it'll be very reasonable. And if you donate, we're going to try our best to sell it. Goes toward the deer dumpsters that we sponsor here in Richland County, and then anything that's unsold at the end of the show will go to Goodwill. So if you want to get rid of it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be camel, if it's blaze orange, you want to part with it, we'll see if we can find it a new home.
That's a good deal, because you can never have enough clothes. If you know somebody shows up, they need some clothes at your place, or, you know, that's
right. It's good to have backup sometimes.
Yes, most definitely. So that'll be there. And then, again, the proceeds go to the archery club then?
Yeah, go to the archery club and toward the dumpster program that costs us, you know, a lot every year to have those dumpsters out. And as Dave alluded to earlier, those dumpsters got filled twice this year in all the different locations. So we got rid of a lot of deer waste that would have normally gone into the woods and had the possibility of spreading chronic wasting disease, and it went to a landfill instead.
Good deal. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the Driftless Area Deer Classic coming up this weekend in Richland Center right after these words on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard. And you found it. Now, when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. Your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Attention hunters and outdoor enthusiasts. The Driftless Area Deer Classic is back this Saturday from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring your deer head for a chance to win a gun. Explore exciting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, and enter the trail camera photo contest. Have sheds? Bring them along. They're welcome, though they won't be scored. Enjoy delicious food and drinks while sharing stories with fellow hunters. Admission is just $5, and kids 16 and under get in free. Want to beat the rush? Pre-register Friday, February 21st from 5 to 9 p.m. or Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. For more info, call 475-4963. Don't miss the Driftless Area Deer Classic this Saturday.
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
Wolf Moon Dance. Here we are all alone in Escanaba in the moonlight together. But I just can't be happy because I'm 35 and I've never bagged a buck.
My people have magic potions that can help you.
Oh, thanks much. What I have to do to get some?
First, you must catch a porcupine.
Catch a porcupine? With my hands?
Yes, and then you must extract its essence.
Its essence? What do you mean by that?
And you will need to find a moose as well.
A whole moose? To extract its essence?
No, just one part of it.
The horn?
No, lower.
The hoof?
No, higher.
The tail?
Closer.
I don't think I want to know. But if you want to know, come to see Escanaba in the Moonlight at the City Auditorium on Friday, March 14th, and Saturday, March 15th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, March 16th at 2 p.m. Just $10 to get in.
And may you have good medicine until then.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you're having a tough time or thinking about suicide, you're not alone. And there's hope. VA's Veterans Crisis Line is full of responders who'll listen and help. Many are veterans or have veteran family members and friends, so they're prepared to address your challenges. After calling, you'll be connected to the next available Crisis Line responder. That person may ask, "Are you thinking of suicide? Or what plan can we put in place to keep you safe today?" If you choose, the responder will share your name and personal information with your local VA Suicide Prevention Coordinator, who'll connect you to local VA assistance and resources. Don't wait. Dial 988, then press 1.
The Driftless Area Deer Classic is back this coming weekend. Members of the Archery Club are in the studio with us today. John Clare, Dave Barron, and Derek Goplin talking about the upcoming event. Derek, you couldn't do it without the aid of your sponsors. Could you mention some of those?
Yeah. We've had a lot of returning sponsors as well as quite a few new ones this year. I'll just go through a quick list real quick. We have levels of like platinum all the way down to bronze. Top sponsors have donated $500 and the lower ones like $50, I believe, and all of that is wonderful. All that money stays local to help the deer show continue as well as the archery club. I'd like to thank the Richland Center Tourism. They've been a great help with being able to help with the tourism side of things and our ad placements. Cabela's has always been a continuing partner with us, and Prem Meats has been a new sponsor the last few years. They're returning as well, and they'll have some food at their stand again, just to try some new stuff. Other sponsors, I'll just go down the list real quick, and if I mispronounce a couple names, I was not the one that typed this, so... Open Season Hunter Outlets, Creamer's Water Store, Aaron Heat Doctors, Ageli Concrete and Excavating. Richland Locker has always been a wonderful sponsor of ours. They give us a lot of credit for food and stuff, and they've always been a wonderful partner throughout our year. Ramada Inn, Ridge and Valley Chapter of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Philback Ford, A-Plus Furniture, Corn on Main, Interwind Baskery, Wilson's Wild Works, local taxidermist here in town. Jeremy's been awesome to work with. Strang's Heating Electric, the Richland County Bank, Maxi Rack, which seed company, Narrow Valley Supplies, Edward Jones, Goliath Pursuits, Driftless Outdoors, the Royal Bank, Solar Meats, Miller Electric, Fuller's Milker Center, Rockwell Automation was a new one this year, I believe, and then the Wisconsin Buck and Bear as well. They've been a partner with us. Without them, we probably don't do the deer show. They do all the scoring and stuff, whether people want it scored for free or if you want it to put in the books, then you can pay them an extra fee for that. And with the sponsors, most of these are vendors as well at the show, so they'll have their products and they'll be able to, you'll be able to look at their stuff and buy stuff if you want from them. So we'll have a full house this year again, and we're pretty excited about it.
Derek, you mentioned tourism. Do you see a lot of people coming in from quite a ways away to the show?
Last year we did. One of the big things I pushed last year was being involved in Facebook more. We've always had a Facebook page, but being able to use social media for ad services, we're able to specifically target certain areas outside of home. You know, the radios are wonderful for the local people that listen in all the time, but a lot of younger people, you know, just away from town, La Crosse area, Minnesota. We've had a couple stranglers from Iowa and Illinois before. Whether they drive up specifically for it or they're just in the area, you know, that's to be determined. But we did have a lot more people last year from out of town, and we've pushed even more on Facebook this year. So we're pretty excited to see what happens.
Great. Hope you get a good crowd. You know, the weather's going to be a little warmer, so maybe you got a better chance.
It's not going to be negative 20, so.
Then you should tell me the very first one, you had a snowstorm?
I believe. I
did. Oh, you did?
Dave did.
Dave did, okay. Yeah. There was a snowstorm to contend with then, so.
It's kind of interesting, actually, because it started snowing heavily right as the show started.
Yeah.
And we had like 8 inches by the time we closed. But we still had a lot of good attendance that day. So, you know, deer hunters will go away.
Yeah, they're a hardy group, that's for
February
sure.
February in Wisconsin, you never know what you're going to get.
So if I'm stumbling around in the woods and I find a shed, can I bring that in as well?
You certainly can.
Can I? Okay.
And let me know where you find that.
Never
know. We'll see if I can find the other one.
You know, we actually had several last year that they had years of sheds for the same deer they killed that year.
Really?
And so, shed hunting's still pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, especially if they own property or hunt the same property all the time, they try to find the sheds from a deer and kind of track it as it gets bigger. And I don't do that. I shoot anything that comes by, but some people target one particular buck.
Yeah, that takes a lot of, you got to be holding yourself back a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not able to do that.
Some other things you want to talk about, there's some other meeting dates, important meeting dates during the year, John?
Yeah, David and I are both on the Conservation Congress, and the Conservation Congress meeting is coming up on Monday, April 14th. And the Conservation Congress, there are 5 reps in every one of the 72 counties in Wisconsin, and any kind of rule changes, hunting, fishing, trapping, environmental rules, all go through the Conservation Congress. And at the Conservation Congress meeting, the crowd that's there gets the vote on a couple of things. First of all, they get the vote on the reps. And this year, there are 2 seats open. My seat is open, a three-year three-year term, and then there's another 2-year term that's open that's got nobody in it currently. So if you would like to run for one of those seats, you have to be at the meeting. If you want to vote for somebody, you have to be at the meeting. You can share your input, and you can vote on the resolutions that are brought up online after the meeting is over for 2 days. There's an online chance for you to vote on the resolutions that have been brought up. But for the Conservation Congress representatives, you have to be at the meeting. And that meeting will be Monday, April 14th. It starts at 6 p.m., and it's usually in the courtroom. We haven't heard exactly where it's going to be. That's up to the local warden to set that up. But it's usually in the courtroom in the courthouse. And the Conservation Congress has been around for a really, really long time. If you're interested in running for the Congress, we don't expect a lot. We expect you to show up for the annual meeting in April. We expect you to try to make the Conservation Congress full meeting, which is in May, and that's this year going to be in Appleton, and then you'll be assigned to a committee or 2, usually only 1, and we expect you to try to make that committee meeting. And the committee meetings, I know Dave's on the Trout Committee, I'm on the Upland Bird Committee, we have other folks that are on all kinds of different committees. The real hard ones to get on are the Bear and the Deer Committee, but the there's all kinds of different committees that we need folks to kind of weigh in on. And what they do is they take the resolutions and they see if they pass muster and if it's a good idea. And if it passes through the committee, then the following year it becomes a resolution for the entire state. So it, there's a process, and it's kind of like a semi-congressional type thing. That's why it's called the Conservation Congress. But here in Wisconsin, we're one of the only states that allows citizen input on rule changes for hunting, fishing, trapping, etc.
Are there some rule changes coming up here?
I mean, yeah, and proposals? I haven't seen what they are, but there always are. And those will be out here shortly for everybody to kind of peruse and see what's going on. But there will be some changes. There always are a bunch.
Yeah, I think this year it is the hunting portion. Every other year, one year it's hunting rule changes. The next year it's fishing rule changes. Also, we have it, you know, Wisconsin's broke up into 9 different districts, and we'd like our representatives to attend a district meeting, and there's 2 a year of those. So
not a big requirement, that.
No. And it's kind of enjoyable, and it's kind of fun. My wife and I went to the Conservation Congress meeting, the big one in Appleton last year, and it's kind of fun. A lot of like-minded people and good time, and lots of more stories to be told. Yeah. So, and some new ones that I haven't heard before.
Right. Yeah. You get out of your area, you get some new ones, and that's good. So the Deer Classic coming up this weekend, and you mentioned clothing. When can people bring that in?
Yeah. If you have clothing to donate, we would like that on Friday. My wife and I will get that all kind of arranged, so when people show up at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, we're ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing I have on the CDAC. The CDAC, each county has a county deer advisory council, and here in Richland County we have a meeting too, but that's it'll be 2 weeks after the meeting for the Conservation Congress. It'll be at 7 p.m. on Monday, April 28th in the county boardroom. And the CDAC, of course, what we do there is we take a look at the, you know, last year's deer season, how many does and bucks were killed, and we take a look at how many deer we want to kill for the upcoming season, which would be the 2025 season. And so that, again, is open to the public. You can actually give your input before that meeting, the 2 weeks before the meeting on the 28th, there'll be an open online time that you can give your input on what you thought of the last season. And then at the meeting on the 28th, we'll set up what we think should happen for the 2025 fall season, how many antlerless tags, how many deer we think need to be killed how many antlerless deer especially need to be killed in the county, and that kind of thing. And again, you can either show up in person and make your thoughts known then, or you can do it online.
Every district has their own then, and so every district.
Every county's got their own CDAC.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can kind of, set your own standards then a little bit. So.
Right. There's certain things we can do and certain things we can't do. One of the things we can do is set the number of tags per license. In the past, when you buy an archery license, that archery license is good for one buck with your bow and arrow or crossbow, and then we would issue 4 doe tags along with that. When you buy a gun license, you get a buck tag and 4 doe tags as well. So we determine how many doe tags in each county are to be issued along with a license purchase.
Yeah, one of the things we did a couple years ago is Richland County pushed through an idea of if you've got a positive doe or buck, you got a replacement buck tag.
Either or tag.
Yeah, and either or tag. Right. So that was one of the things CDAC pushed through, and now it's statewide.
Yeah, what happened is at our CDAC meeting, we were trying to figure out a way to get more people to, first of all, test their deer, and second of all, to shoot some antlerless deer. And so the idea came up at a CDAC meeting, but eventually it went through the Conservation Congress program, and it was put in place this last fall. If you shot a antlerless deer, let's say a doe, and it tested positive, Normally, what you would have gotten in the past was a replacement doe tag. Well, since most people have at least four doe tags, that's not, we don't really need that. And so we pushed through through the Conservation Congress the idea that if you got a positive doe, you would get an either-or tag. So you could put that on a buck or a doe. And since most people would rather shoot a buck than a doe, that would encourage people to hunt more and maybe fill that tag. So that was, again, an idea. Our CDAC then eventually got brought up to the Conservation Congress and became a rule. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that as being a lot more inviting for somebody to want to be a part.
Yeah, most hunters would rather shoot a buck than a doe, and mm-hmm. so that's just encouraging them to get out there and try to fill that tag.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is, as soon as you turn that in positive, they send you a notification. You have the tag during that season, and it's good for the next season also if you don't fill it right away. So it's actually good for 2 years, your current season, and if you don't fill it, it's good for the next season.
Mm-hmm. So you can bank it for the next year then. So
I have a couple of brothers, and they shoot crossbows, and they usually shoot a buck or two, and of course we have quite a few positives out in our area, and so sometimes they'll go into the deer season with three or four buck tags instead of the normal two. So
we talked in the program in November about just trying to encourage younger hunters to come out, be a part of the sport. And I think coming to the Deer Classic brought a youngster there. That would be a great way to kind of start.
Yeah, it's a good way to build up some kind of enthusiasm for deer hunting and hunting in general and the outdoors in general. And in addition, at the Archery Club, we welcome young kids to come up during the summer out to the archery range. We have some of the PVC bows that Derek was talking about that anybody can pull back. They're only about a 10 or 15 pound pull, so even a young kid could pull that back. And plus, we have some compound type bows that are made for young people that they can borrow as well, and we'll help them learn how to shoot and run them through the course.
Yeah, the Deer Classic. What's the age cutoff for them to get in free?
It's 12 and under is free.
12 and under is free.
$5 at the door.
A good, really good deal, actually. So, anything you'd like to add today, Derek?
Nope. Just a reminder, the deer show's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, this Saturday, the 22nd. So
ample hours, yeah. We got through the program. We didn't even slam Doug Duren too much today, did we?
His turn's coming.
He doesn't get into that archery stuff as much, though.
No, he's not an archery hunter. He thinks it's a waste of time, but obviously we think differently.
Right, yeah. Some say it's more of a sport, right?
Yeah, it is.
Some
it
say
is. It's way better than hunting with a rifle.
Good deal. Well, we appreciate you guys coming in here. We hope that everybody will be a part of it this weekend, come out. If nothing else, you've got some great food on the menu, don't you?
Food should be good.
Absolutely. Utter Brothers supplying that coming in this weekend for the Driftless Area Deer Classic. Gentlemen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's to a good weekend. Again, the Driftless Area Deer Classic coming up Saturday 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. And thanks to John Clare, Dave Barron, and Derek Goplin for being our guests on this portion of the morning show.
If you're looking for the perfect flooring for your next project, whether it's carpet, tile, wood, or laminate, Badger Land Flooring has you covered. Not sure what suits your space? Visit Jamie, Amy, and the team at their showroom at 1475 Highway 14 East Richland Center. With over 40 years of installation experience, they will guide you to the best flooring solution and ensure it's done right. Stop by Badger Land Flooring and let their expertise bring your flooring vision to life.
Hey, this is Dave Grant with Civic Media. I recently got U.S. Cellular's home internet service from Cell Plus in Baraboo. The router was free, the setup was so easy, and the speed is incredible. I even rely on U.S. Cellular's home internet for my live morning show, whether from my house or from the cottage. Best part, the price is locked in for 3 years for $39.99 a month when bundled with a wireless plan. Terms do apply. Go to your nearest U.S. Cellular authorized agent, Cell Plus, and check it out.
Free February sale is going on at Furniture Decor and More in Boscobel and Westby. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and free gift with qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby. Free February sale going on at Furniture Decor and More in Westby and Boscobel. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and a free gift with a qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby. We salute the farmers themselves, the heart and soul of agriculture. Their commitment, resilience, and tireless work ensure that communities are fed and nourished. Whether tending to crops, livestock, or planning for the future, farmers are the backbone of our society, driving forward through every challenge and every season. This salute to agriculture is sponsored by Riverdale Veterinary Clinic, a full-service veterinary clinic dedicated to the health and well-being of your large and small animals. Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola has provided competitive livestock prices since 1963. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, give Darren, Cole, or Jim a call today. Lime Ridge Ag was established in 1986 to provide livestock feed and nutritional services, Rob Seco seed, and grain storage equipment. And Southwest Tech, agriculture is filled with opportunities. Check out your options at swtc.edu/ag. Southwest Tech, this is where you belong. Our morning show today on WRCO talks about an upcoming fundraiser, a pancake breakfast fundraiser for Jennifer Ward, which is coming up at Ithaca Schools on Sunday, the 23rd. It's organized by the Ithaca Lions and the Buena Vista Lions Club helping as well. Representing the Lions here is Bill Clone. How you doing, Bill?
Welcome. Good morning. Fine.
Good to have you in here to the studios. These pancake breakfasts, you guys have been pretty successful at them, haven't you?
Yeah, the Ithaca Lions has been well noted for the pancakes, and it's been a strong emphasis for us to assist anybody in their needs, and whether it's cancer or just a tough time, fire, anything, we've assisted several community people.
The Ithaca community really comes out in droves. I mean, the entire community, but I think you get great response, don't you?
We get great response, and it's a community-wide event, and Ithaca community is a community of its own, and the school backs it 100%. They donate the school building and the facilities for us. They don't charge us anything, and so it's a true community effort to put this on. We worked with conjunction of the Buena Vista for this one just because we kind of sponsored and got Buena Vista started, but the Wards live kind of down in that territory, and so it's just neighbors helping neighbors, and it makes a large community event.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, and it appears, Bill, that you've had a good response from people helping out and donating as well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people opening up the doors of calling, Texan, I've got a donation, I want to bring something, where can we leave it off? And my number is posted on posters. Another gal from the Buena Vista area is posted on the posters. And anybody can reach me at 608-475-6870. And always leave a voicemail or send me a text, and we can communicate.
That's awesome. And you'll have the bake sale, the silent auction. It always seems like you guys have lots of really cool things that people can bid on.
Yeah, we got the silent auction, and Buena Vista has pretty much kind of taken the hands to running the silent auction and dealing with the bake sale. We've got plenty to do with making the pancakes and the scrambled eggs and getting everything rolling that way. Being as this is kind of a youthful event, I call it. I mean, Jennifer's got, and Dan has three nice young boys. And so we're having a bounce house. Thunder Showers from Boscobel has donated the bounce house to assist kids in taking care of their time while mom and dad is maybe eating or whatever they want to do. It'll be a free will donation to get into the bounce house. and there'll be somebody there monitoring so we don't have it overcrowded. And if we get too many people in there, well, then they'll just say, well, your time's up, Johnny, and move onward. But it should be a great Sunday. This event will be Sunday, February 23rd, in the Ithaca Commons, and the bounce house will be down in the multi-purpose room, which is in the educational wing.
You're probably too big for the bounce house, Bill, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I graduated from that.
What a really fun family thing, though, as well. And mom and dad might have to eat two meals there, because once the kids get down to the bounce house, they might not be coming back right away, right?
Well, that's kind of the idea.
Well, let's meet Dan. Dan Ward is here. He is the husband of Jennifer Ward. And Dan, welcome to the Morning Show studios.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're from the area originally, aren't you?
Yep. Yeah, I grew up in the Blue River area, down in the little town of Excelsior. Went to Riverdale. And,
yep. Did you live away from here for a little while then?
12 years. We lived in Dodgeville. That's where we started our family. Bought a house over there, and she worked over at Quality Liquid Feeds. This February would be 15 years at Quality Liquid Feeds in Dodgeville.
And you've lived in the Gotham area a couple of years then? A
couple of years. So we bought in and made that transition all along, around the same time that this, we've been, you know, dealing with this other thing. And it's been a great community. You know, we've really enjoyed the open enrollment into the Ithaca School District, and you know, they've been really good to us and good to our kids.
Awesome. And you've driven a little bit for the school district, is that correct?
At the beginning of the year, I started working in the transportation department with Bill, and just helping out where I can, making sure that some of the special needs students and things like that can get back and forth to school.
You have a picture on the poster. You have such a beautiful family there.
Yeah, thank you.
You got to be proud of that.
Very proud, yes.
So let's talk about your wife, Jennifer, and her cancer journey. How long has this been going on?
Well, it would be December of 2022 is when we went in for an umbilical hernia surgery for her, which ended up being a symptom. And that's when I got the phone call from the surgeon when she was still under, hey, there's something that we found. We need to talk. So I made my way back to the hospital, and she woke up, and then the surgeon was there and told us the possibility that what he found was cancerous. There was a lot of fluid that came out, and it was a bad day. Yeah. And so since then, it was January, she started chemo treatments. She just finished yesterday chemo treatment number 52. It's every other week. She's been on a series of different treatments. For a while, it was the full FOX with the oxaliplatin, and that was not very effective. Then it was the full FURI with the irinotecan. That was more effective, and now she's been on the fluorouracil throughout the entire thing. So it's been a long couple years, but we're at the end of those 2 years and we're still doing it. So, we made it this far.
Yeah,
so
that's good. You're fighting.
Yeah, fighting.
I don't know if you mentioned what type of cancer is it known as?
It's a metastatic adenocarcinoma.
Okay.
That was thought to originate in the appendix, then possibly in the colon. But it's been classified basically as an intestinal. It's in her abdominal cavity, peritoneal lining of her stomach, and it's a hard cancer to treat. There are treatment options, but they're mostly for other types of cancers. Treatments for this type of cancer have in the past been very unsuccessful, outside of surgery, which she was diagnosed at later stages, you know, stage 4. And through exploratory surgery, they were able to determine that she wasn't a candidate for a debulking HIPEC treatment, which is where they go in and remove what they need to. But the cancer was too far widespread to go through with that surgery.
So you've gotten the other options. It sounds like she's had some good days and bad days over the course of the last year.
The oxaliplatin on the full FOX was a lot of neuropathy, cold sensitivity, uncomfortableness. And then the irinotecan, which she had to endure a little bit longer, was a lot of nausea. So it was hard.
All the time being a mother of three boys.
Yeah, yeah, Yep, that never ends. That's always a pleasure every day.
Yeah, but I'm sure that keeps her going, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's her happiness. She finds a lot of fulfillment. So do I. And just being there, raising kids, they are amazing kids. They're, you know, my oldest is 8. His name is Clark. And I have a middle, Abel, he's 5. He's in the 4K over in Ithaca. And Levi, he's 3 years old. So, yep.
Wow. A lot of energy there.
Indeed.
Yeah. So two of the boys go to Ithaca then?
Right, yes, now. They do. Yep. Clark, mm-hmm. he's in second grade over there, and he loves it. You know, he loves the association and, you know, the setting, the public school setting. He enjoys it. And I think Abel does too.
Obviously, you've incurred a lot of expenses over the course of the last year, and I'm guessing that's made you aren't able to go because you're with her trying to take her to her appointments and things like that. It's been a hardship, hasn't it?
It has been, and we've received a lot of very kind help along the way. Without the help, we wouldn't have been able to get this far and stay together, stay close. You know, we do treatments every 2 weeks. Every third treatment is in Madison. The other remaining 2 treatments are in Dodgeville, it's a lot of time investment, of course, and things. And we do have, you know, some generous family members and such that are able to help when I'm on her, when we're doing treatments and I'm with her. And then of course the school district has been very flexible with my, you know, obligations there and transportation, so I can take those days and be with her during those treatments. But it really doesn't end during that day. It continues on through the week. Right now she has a pump on because she had treatment yesterday, and that'll be taken off tomorrow. And so she's having to, you know, go through that treatment for a 3-day period every 2 weeks, and then it's a few days after that before she's really kind of starting to bounce back.
You've learned a lot about medical.